Who's got the intro?
Gee, I guess that means it's me.
Yeah, I guess that's you. Where can I find a list of reliable nodes? Woof.
Tigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends. Broadcasting from Pod Bay, Sit and Stay, 82 feet above sea level at Intergalactic K9 Studios. Yeah. Loosen your leashes and latch those cage doors and distract your handlers to keep a shock collar of statism from being clamped down on your neck. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Michael?
Woof, 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 woof.
Yes. Take that as a yes.
I feel it, brother man.
As always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. All right.
Yes.
So we are here.
The name of this episode of the Freedom Fiends with Michael W. Dean, that's me, and Jeremy Heisen N-word, that's you.
Yes, it is.
What's your real last name? I can never say it.
Okay. Hengler.
Hengler? Yeah, you can't say it on the radio. The name of this episode is Rebooting Your House for Good Audio. We go to the ends of the earth to bring you the best audio we can, having 15 co-hosts in different states, cities, and countries, all connected with the border busting software Fiend Phone, and nobody's in a recording studio. Everyone's in their home using, you know, $50 worth of microphones and stands and stuff. And we developed this software. Fiendphone.com is where you can get it. And it's good, and it's free, and it's better than Skype, but it's temperamental, and so is audio in general. And, you know, sometimes you have to reboot the program, any program, to get it to work right. Sometimes you have to reboot your computer. Jeremy has to reboot his house. What does that mean? Explain that.
Well, this is true. Well, I live in the original suburb of America, Levittown,
can we say,
New York.
Yeah, Levittown, which is also known for not only for bad wiring, but it's also known for bad radio hosts and TV hosts. It's where Bill O'Reilly spent his formative years chasing, probably shooting birds with a .22 and, you know, pulling girls' pigtails and putting them into ink, things kids did back then.
Yes, this is unfortunately true. He is from my my neck of the woods.
But, yeah.
So, well, anyway, so this place was put up in a hurry on the cheap back in the 40s. And they...
Is your house from back then?
Yes, my house is from the early 40s, I believe it was built.
Do you know why it's called Levittown?
I can't remember. I thought it had something to do with the guy who built the place, but I don't
it was
remember.
A factory town built to house the workers of the Levitt Furniture Company.
Oh, there you go. That makes sense.
My wife told me that tonight.
Oh, well, there you go. The more you know.
Yeah, they actually used to teach about Levittown in high schools. I learned about it in high school. It's famous.
Well, yeah, like
famous
I said,
for it's being the first suburb and famous for mediocrity when it comes to wiring.
Oh yeah, so everything's old, and I've had this problem for years. Never knew it until I talked to a tech at my cable company last year. Who
your neighbor flushes his toilet and your lights flicker, right?
Something like that. Yeah. Basically, what happens is, I mean, they make stuff called power conditioners that you can put on your electrical.
I have
equipment.
One.
Yeah, it's
that's fine. I sound so creamy.
To prevent certain problems. But apparently, there's a trick that I just learned recently that all I have to do is literally kill the power to my house, let it sit for 30 seconds, and then turn it all back on, and it kind of recycles the power to the house where all the crunchiness that builds up, and it not only affects my internet, but it also affects my phone line, because my phone, even if I'm standing like 5 feet away from the receiver, gets all static, starts to get staticky when this happens. So now I know when that starts to happen, I just have to I have to reboot my house. And like I told you earlier, sometimes rebooting your equipment just isn't enough if you have a commitment to good audio, and I do, so
yep.
I'll reboot my whole darn house.
So we're going to call this episode something about rebooting your house for good audio, and I think I'll find a picture from some Stephen King horror movie of a house being hit by a lightning bolt or something. Not that that'll happen to you, hopefully.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, despite the fact that my house does has seemed in the past to have been built on an ancient Indian burial ground, you know, as we decided after all the problems we had trying to get my system to work in the first place, my house does seem to be rather lucky because during the past two major storms, during Hurricane Sandy, and then there was actually another storm that hit our area even harder, but wasn't talked about because it didn't come all the way up the East Coast, I think a couple months after that. But between both of those, trees fell all around my, you know, my neighborhood and took out part of the house of all of my neighbors, but somehow managed to miss mine two consecutive times. So
yeah,
I'll call that a win, and I'll deal with the audio problem. I'll deal with the electrical issues that I have to deal with in order to keep my house from having trees falling on it.
Somebody just wrote me and said that the Freedom Fiends and Monster Energy drinks are all that gets him through the work mornings violence free.
Wow.
I like that. That's pretty cool. And speaking of high praise, there's a podcast I want to do a shout out to. It's called Libertarians on Fire, and it's a video cast. There's a flamethrower on libertarians, no, like Barry Johnson and Austin Peterson. No, it's a really, really good podcast. Libertarians on Fire. Google it, or just I think it's libertariansonfire.com. This guy is on like his seventh episode or fifth episode or something, and it's one of the best sounding podcasts I've ever heard. And of course, he used my guide to learn to do that. It actually sounds better than the Freedom Fiends, but they're all in the same place. They're all in the same room, which, you know, makes it easier, but still not easy to make a great sounding podcast. And he's got a page on his site called What the Peeps Are Saying, and it's, you know, words of praise from famous libertarians like me, Michael W. Dean, and like Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, and like Scott Horton. But he's also got like praise from like non-libertarian, like the podcast guy, you know, like people who review podcasts for a living and tell people how to make podcasts. And that's pretty high praise, especially since the couple guys that he got that information from, like, you know, they make their living telling people how to do podcasts, and they didn't tell him how to do a podcast, and they just still think it's like the best sounding, you know, this quote's like the best sounding first episode of a podcast I've ever heard. And for that matter, it's one of the best sounding podcasts, you know, sounds better than the 100th episode of most podcasts. And it really does. And I was listening to an episode tonight, the one about police, and it's got Brian Gordon and Kerry Gordon on it, my friends, Fiend fans for a long time now. And Brian is the guy who programmed Fiendbot, the program that we use to edit with every night, and he's also going to help out with the Fiend cryptocurrency Bitcoin. But I was listening to it, and he was talking about his journey to liberty, and it was basically like, I think it was like Rush Limbaugh, you know, like grew up with a conservative household, you know, left there, you know, grew up, went out on his own, listened to Rush Limbaugh, and then listened to I forget what the intermediary was. It was something between Rush Limbaugh, then Alex Jones, then he graduated to Free Talk Live, and he said, like, you know, but Free Talk Live still like made me angry because they talk, you know, it's a great show, but they still talk about tyranny today all the time, and you know how the government's messing you over. And he said, and then I found the Freedom Fiends and like felt relief. I don't know if the word he used was relief, but it was something like that. And I really touched by that. I was almost. There's not a lot that's been more touching to me than that, except the guy who, the young guy, 18-year-old guy, who said that he was about to join the Air Force, and then he heard the Freedom Fiends and changed his mind. So I thank him for his service, too. So, yeah, man, good audio, good podcast. You know that guy, Rick, right?
Rick, yes.
You know Rick?
Yes, I've become acquainted with Rick recently.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, well.
Yeah, he's not the guy that didn't join the join the Air Force because of us. He's the guy that does the podcast we're talking about.
Yes.
Libertarians.
Libertarians
burning on fire. Yep.
Yeah, well, it's really not that difficult to get good audio if you do follow the simple steps that are outlined on the Fiend Phone website.
And it's amazing how many people just don't want to do it.
Well, yeah, that's what I was
like. Your friend.
Well, exactly. Part of the reason I've been having so many problems with my podcast is because my friends don't want to follow the simple instructions that would lead them to good audio.
They'd rather suck. Just say it. Just go ahead and say it. They'd rather suck.
Yeah, I guess so. I kind of went off on them last week, unfortunately. Well, I was going to say unfortunately, but no, it needed to be said. I do put a lot of work. I do put a lot of work into that show. And
you know what you should do to make the point, drive the point home, is you should do one episode. It would take a lot of work, but you should do an episode where you dub over them in your voice in better audio, kind of like doing an impression of them, like a sarcastic impression of them, but with good audio.
That would be funny. Yeah. It would be a lot of work, though.
Yeah, he sure would. You basically have to transcribe it and then. Or do it like one record, listen to a line, then record a line, then listen to a line, then record a line.
Yeah, that would.
And do a lot of editing, a lot of editing.
I already do more than enough editing on those shows. And we just did one recently where we had our friend Paul Gordon on, and that guy can talk. So I love Paul, and I didn't realize how long we had gone until after we shut down.
What's his show? If you want to give a shout out for his show.
He's doing a bunch of stuff now, but his main show is Disassociation Nation, which I forget the
Disassociation
LRPN Nation. Or whatever it is. They're on a different network. I forget the name of it, but he can be found. Just Google Disassociation Nation. You'll find them. Yeah, so we did a really long show and I didn't even realize it, but you know, it's all good.
You know, then there's podcasts that are really good because I teach them how to be really good, but then they only do 8 episodes in pod fade, like a similarly named podcast. Does anyone remember this one? The Disindoctrination Podcast.
No,
that was a thing.
I don't remember. I don't. I never heard of that one at all.
Yeah, it was good. Oh well. You're only as good as last night's podcast. That's what I think. And his last night's podcast was a couple of years ago because he pod faded. Garrett Fox.
Oh, okay. Garrett.
That guy.
Thing. Okay, yeah.
He reminds me of you.
Yes, I know. So you've said. Well, it happens. I mean, listen, I've been doing my other podcast now for almost about a year and a half. And it's, unless you have at least one person dedicated to doing a lot of the grunt work like I do, it's quite easy to podcast.
Yeah. It is. We'll be back and we're going to talk about pre-internet pod beefs. How people used to beef with each other before the internet.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you sick and tired of peaceful people being banned from so-called liberty events? How about liberty festivals that are more regulated than a government housing area? Now you can do something about it. The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to announce the 4th annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It will be held Friday, August 26th through Monday the 29th at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan, just outside of Kalamazoo. There will be canoeing, kayaking, hiking, fishing, swimming, presentations, discussions, and bacon. Lots of bacon. This event is both adult and family friendly, and best of all, no overbearing central planners. There will be free Freedom Fiends and Bipcop merch while supplies last. And don't forget the longer leashes for the Bow Wows and Woof Woofs. Round up your friends and family members and get them registered today at mplfest.org. That's Mike, Papa, Lima, Fest.org.
This thing about the pod beef. You got that there, Jeremy?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Yeah. Yep. I've often wondered how people could possibly call each other names before the internet. I haven't really always wondered that because I didn't get on the internet until I was 30, because the internet didn't exist until I was something like that, 27, 28. And it wasn't easy to get on back then. I mean, I knew people that were actually on it before the web. I got on it at work within a year of the web existing in like 95. And it wasn't work like working in an internet place. It was work like I worked in one of the first, or probably the first, web cafe. It was a steakhouse at 9th and Folsom in San Francisco in 1995. I was a dishwasher and a busboy. One of my first sober, you know, basically like I got sober. All I could do was like play bass and sleep with women. That was like my two skills. So, I actually went back to college, but before that I did jobs that a teenager could do at age 30. So I was a busboy, but I was a busboy in like, you know, probably the first web cafe in the world. And it was kind of cool. So I got to play around on the web there. But so before the internet, you know, how did people beef? There's this thing I found. It's like, it looks like it's printed on parchment. You want to go ahead and read this? It's pretty funny. It's from 1839.
Sure, but before I read it, I just want to let you know, you're buffering something fierce, sir. Yeah. You downloading port again? Didn't we talk about this last night?
Oh, no. You know what? I forgot. Always turn off the blockchain before you, yep. I was downloading blockchains.
There you go.
I'm addicted to blockchains.
All right. So this, I don't know where this was actually posted, but the tagline on it is from Tallahassee.
Tallahassee, yep. Florida.
I know, but I don't mean what publication it was in.
Oh, where was it posted? Yeah. Probably hung on posts. Yeah, so it says, like, actually nailed to a post that makes sense. On the street. All right,
so it says, yeah. To the public.
That's probably where the term posting comes from.
It says, yeah. To the public. The object of this placard is to inform the public that General Lee Reed has declined, yes. declined giving to me an apology for the insult offered me at St. Mark's on the 5th last. That he has also refused to me that satisfaction, which as an honorable man refusing to apologize, he was bound to give. I therefore pronounce him to be a coward and a scoundrel. Signed, William Treadwell. Or Tradewell.
Wow.
So, yes, this is, well, see, now this is funny because this is, you know, public shaming. This is the type of stuff we talk about happening in LibPair. And you know what? I wouldn't mind seeing a return to this.
Well, the only time I see stuff like this now is really when the government does it, when a child molester convicted, you know, someone on the sex offender registry moves into your neighborhood, the sheriff like mails out flyers or sometimes hangs them on the street, or sometimes concerned citizens will hang them on the street. There was a guy on our street who did that, who was on that list. I don't know what he was on for, but he moved in and out of his house. Like, he moved in with his parents and moved out and moved in and moved out and moved in and moved out like 5 or 6 times in the 6 or 7 years that we've lived here. So we've gotten that flyer like 5 or 6 times. Like, every time he moved out and tried to make it on his own and then moved back in with his dad, we got that flyer. And then he got arrested for raping a child and is serving like 25 to 30 years in prison. So
wow.
We won't be getting that flyer for a while.
But, well, that's
So one of the comments when I posted this, I said, this is what pre-internet and even pre-radio pod beef looked like. And it was probably in Philadelphia. And I tagged Steve Miller because it just seemed like something, you know, Ben Franklin would have printed for people. but it was actually Florida. And it was actually a nobody complaining about a politician. That's kind of the funny thing, too. And this politician was later murdered by someone other than this person. So apparently this politician was a scoundrel to more than one person. And the
one of the odds.
Refused to give me satisfaction. Jeff Lentz's topic on this was make dueling great again. I don't think he's saying he wanted to duel the guy, but he did use the term refused me that satisfaction. So basically it sounds like this guy had a beef with the politician. He demanded to the politician's face, or probably, you know, through his office, to get an apology, and he didn't get one. So he printed up little cards and handed them out and nailed them up on walls. I like that.
I do too. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Bring shaming back again.
Yeah.
Make shaming great again.
Somebody said they'd like social justice warriors You're better if they talked like that. Freedom
Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon. Your house is your property.
Supposed to be on tonight, but I guess Mexico didn't pay its internet bill. So he
Thanks, Obama.
You know, we were going to talk about something else, but there'd actually be a really good segue here, and then we can talk about the other thing. Thanks, Obama, for making us have fluorescent lights. So, do you know what happens? I broke a compact fluorescent light. Do you know what happens if you break a compact fluorescent light? You heard about this?
Yeah, it's some. Well, there's some crazy cleanup ritual you got to go through. So, like, is there mercury in there or something that gets released? Then you have to.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just sweep it up with a dustpan like any old light bulb, supposedly.
Have you heard about how you have to hire a EPA certified cleanup crew and it's like $2,000 minimum?
I have heard of that. I haven't heard of anybody actually doing it, but I have heard that was something that's supposed to be done.
The interesting thing is that's a bunch of hooey. That's a bunch of BS. And it's really hilarious and bad right-wing propaganda against Obama. Now, I hate Obama. He's a liar. He's a socialist, and his feet stink. However, sure. You know, there's actually a joke, though, amongst people who don't like Obama. It's, thanks, Obama. Like, you know, you spill your soup. Thanks, Obama.
Yeah, you blame him for everything.
Yeah, you blame him for everything. So this one is not Obama's fault. Everything else is, but this one is not.
Everything else is.
First of all, you can still get regular light bulbs. You just generally can't get them over a certain wattage. And if anybody, for some reason, wants to buy a 100 watt bulbs cheap, I'll pay. I got them in my basement. I stocked up. I fell for this. The rumor that you have to pay an EPA certified team is complete BS, and it was made up by an anti-Obama right-wing fear-based site called WorldNet Daily that makes their living selling boner pills and you know, colloidal uranium enemas to cure the
those guys are a trip.
They actually have a TV station now. It's in my basic cable package of Dish Network. It's I've watched it. It's loony. It's kind of like they're trying to make it like respectable. It's kind of like the History Channel. Like, they have a lot of World War II documentaries, but they're not as well made as, you know, the ones on History Channel. A lot lower budget, and then there's just fear-based insanity. I really think that this whole falseness that was spread, and everybody heard it and thinks it's true because they never looked it up, that the EPA required, you know, that you'll never be able to sell your house, they can come in and quarantine sections of your house, and if you don't pay for an EPA certified cleanup team, you know how ridiculous that is. The EPA has a page on their website telling you, the homeowner, how to clean it up safely if you break a compact fluorescent light.
See,
Yeah.
I had heard, I didn't hear the $2,000 thing, but I had heard something about the cleanup process involving the EPA, but that wasn't the reason that I heard that after the fact. And like I said, I never bothered to look into it because I didn't really care, because the one that had gotten me that I stocked up on, the regular incandescent light bulbs, was the fact that we were like, something got floated in New York that you weren't going to be able to purchase them past a certain date. So
can we buy some?
I got
100 watt bulbs.
Well, like I said, I stocked up on them too. I went to the local box store, BJ's, and bought like, you know, a couple, maybe 150, I think, altogether. But I now have light bulbs for the rest of my life, and they weren't that expensive.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, they were like, you know, 30, I think less than 30 bucks for the entire lot.
Yeah, it was like 40 bucks, I think, for 100 of these. And the thing is, though, actually, since that law passed two or three years ago, the price of LED lights that screw in normally have gotten so much cheaper that, like, we've pretty much replaced most of the bulbs in our house with those. And they're more expensive than incandescent bulbs, but they last forever. And they have, I like the light better than compact fluorescent lights. And
is it softer? Kind of like,
it's softer and better. And compact fluorescent lights, actually, I like the light on them better than the old-fashioned tube compact, uncompact fluorescent lights.
Yes.
You know those? Yeah. So yeah, some municipalities have laws against or regulations against discarding compact fluorescent lights that break or that aren't broken in your trash. You're supposed to take them to electronics recycling places, you know, where you take like old TVs and old monitors and stuff and old computers, because they have a lot of toxins in them, all of that stuff. But yeah, man, you don't have to, you know, hire a certified team to clean up your house. And I'll tell you how you do it. Basically, it's pretty simple. So I accidentally broke it in the garage, which was a lot, you know, the attached garage instead of in the house. So, but wherever you do it, you should, first thing you do is, you know, shuffle all the pets and family members and children out of the area. Turn off your AC or central air, because that will spread the mercury vapor. The thing is, too, there's not a lot of mercury vapor in this. I mean, you don't want to sit there and huff it, but it's not like, you know, having a vial of Ebola virus breaking in your house. It's not, you know, it's not like having someone run a meth lab in your house. It doesn't poison your house forever. And, you know, running a meth lab in someone's house doesn't necessarily poison it forever. But there are regulations basically to punish drug users. It's you cannot sell a house, you know, without having an EPA licensed crew come in. You know, a house that like was known where meth was produced. They actually bring this up, and it's true in Breaking Bad. It's how Jesse buys his parents' house for like pennies on the dollar. Remember that?
I never saw Breaking Bad. Remember, I only did Better Call Saul.
Okay, well, this isn't really a spoiler alert. The show's been out forever. But,
well, no, I'm not worried about it. I'm going to...
Yeah, yeah. He runs a meth lab in his, you know... his parents move out. He lives in his parents' house after they move out. They finally kick him out because he's doing drugs. And they know he was running a meth lab in the basement. And...
Those darn kids.
Yeah, they kick him out, and he ends up on the street going through like horrible things that are really, really hilarious that I could kind of relate with, except the part about trying to climb over a porta potty into a fenced in yard to get your impounded vehicle and falling through into the porta potty, which he does. Yeah, but you know, I've been there. I've been like kicked out in the middle of the night by whatever woman I was living with 20 years ago, and you know, had to fend for myself, and things got worse and worse and worse. The part I really relate with, people who've seen this, is the part where he goes to his old buddy he used to play in a band with, who lives in the suburbs now, has a nice house, nice job, nice wife, nice baby. The wife and kid are out shopping, and he's like, his buddy's like, yeah, man, you can crash on our couch for, you know, 3 or 4 days. Sure, man, no problem. And then the wife comes home and like sees him and like gives her husband a dirty look and says, can you help me with these bags in the bedroom, please? And then like Jesse just kind of like his head just kind of falls like, oh, I know what's coming, man. You know, I've been there. I've been in that almost exact situation many years ago. But so, yeah, his house, you know, he gets kicked out. His parents ruin his life. And then he, you know, he's making a bunch of money, hundreds of thousands of dollars running a meth lab in a camper van or an RV. And then he basically has his lawyer, Saul, better call Saul, set up a meeting with his parents' lawyer and his parents and say that, you know, some undisclosed person wants to buy the house and they're like, and they want to pay cash with a 10-day escrow. And they're like, great, great, excellent, you know, and the house is like going for $900,000 and they're like, okay, but he wants to do a little bit of a discount here. And they're like, okay, we can go under 900 a little bit. And they're like, he's like, okay, this person wants to pay $350,000 and I have a cashier's check right now. And they're like, that's insane. We have more than that in fixing it up. And then the lawyer like pulls out photos of the meth lab and says like, oh, did you disclose in your real estate listing that there used to be a meth lab here? You know, and basically like they're committing a felony by not saying their son had a meth lab there while trying to sell it. Yeah. So he gets them to get it basically at a third of the price.
Nice.
Yeah. But so, yeah, you just turn off your AC when you clean a floor, you break a fluorescent light, you turn off the AC in the air, get the kids and the pets out of there. And, you know, basically, if you can, shut the doors to the room it's in and open the windows for like 15 minutes. Then you go in, you know, wear a mask, you know, like a painting mask. Go in and carefully pick up the pieces and then don't vacuum it until it's all over if you have to, because the vacuum will spread the mercury around your house. So you just go in with tape and pick up the little pieces of glass. And, you know, if it's a garage like where I did it, I'm just going to hose it out tomorrow. And, yeah, you just pick it up and then you're done, man. And if there's any like tiny little pieces of glass you can't get by hand, you just get them with tape. So, yeah. And the thing is, too, the amount of mercury that you, if you do this right, when you like clean up the way I described, you absorb the amount of mercury that you would get from eating a can of tuna. So there. You know what? You know why tuna has mercury, right?
Because it's in the fish, in the water, I mean.
Because it's an apex predator. It's at the top of the fish food chain. Most big fish are. Oh, and yeah. Things like mercury don't go away. So, you know, the little you have the mercury from the little fish, the bigger 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 fish, and the big fish. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I knew it had something to do with it, but I did not actually know that. That's interesting.
Yeah, man. So, you know, the lower you eat on the food chain, probably better you off are somewhat. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Hugo said he's having a software problem. He's giving up. All right. Well,
quitter.
Our fiends can talk. Quitter.
Quitters never win, Hugo.
And winners never quit. Yes.
That's right.
Yeah. Freedom Fiends energy drinks. Yep. Hey,
what? Energy drinks.
Freedom Fiends energy drinks. That's coming after the coin. I need.
I just got off of those. Don't get me. I don't need to be hooked on another one. I finally got off Monsters a few months back. I'm gonna feel like obligated to try them, and then once I have them for a day or two, I'll probably be hooked on them, and then I'll be back.
Ours isn't gonna have the same stuff in it. It's just gonna be sugar and caffeine and mercury.
All right, so Jolt Cola with mercury, perfect. Sounds spectacular.
Twice the caffeine, 18 times the mercury, 85 times the mercury. Yeah.
Sweet.
800 times the mercury.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
just a reader from the phone book. I figure, you know.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man. You think I'm going to skip a chance to, like, talk and say my thoughts and have people listen intently?
No, no, I don't.
I mean, I remember one time...
Yeah,
I don't know how many people listen. What's that?
Never mind.
What?
You said
what,
one time. I said in band camp?
One time in band.
This one time in band camp. Oh, never mind.
What
never
does
saw
that
American
mean,
Pie?
Oh, okay. Yeah. No. No, that's way after. I was busy shooting heroin and banging groupies on tour when those summer sexploitation movies and you guys were all losing your virginity too. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
That came after
I lost my virginity. Way after, actually. That was early 2000. I don't remember. Anyway, okay, so that's where it's from. So you were
all
saying.
Right, Bueller.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Continue, sir.
I don't even know what I was going to say. I was going to say that... I remember one time when my first novel came out, my novel I self-published before you could do it online, before there was an online, really. Well, there was kind of an online, but it was in the year 1999. I had to go to a printer to do it and do the page layout myself in Quark, which doesn't really exist anymore. But I got interviewed on a radio station, and it was like a community, like a licensed low power, like 100-watt station. Like it reached, you know, like, I don't know, it was in a pretty hilly area of Northern California, so it reached like three towns, and there were probably like 25 people listening. And it was like at 7 a.m. and I took a bus. I didn't have a car. I lived in San Francisco, and it was like past Sausalito. I got up at like 4:30 a.m. and I took 3 buses to get there to like do this interview on the air and to like, I don't know, probably 50 people maybe.
Wow.
So hell yeah, I'm not going to give up like Hugo. I'm going to stay on and fight. If I had to, I would call in. I'd say bad audio be damned. I would get on my cell phone. If my power went out, I would get on my cell phone with G3 or 4G or whatever it is, and 4G, and I would call GCN, and I would do a soliloquy for 2 hours if I had to. Yeah. Wow. So you know how much it hurt me to not do shows when I was really, really sick last year. Man, I'm glad to be back. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're back too, Michael.
Cool, man. So we're going to talk about this thing. But first, I want to say some things. I got some announcements. And this thing may go into the second hour. But so stickers. We got stickers for sale. Go to the link that says stickers at the top of the Freedom Fiends. And I'm having a sale until further notice. Anyone who orders buttons will get a free State Speech is Hate Speech sticker.
Nice.
So do that. Yeah. That's a $2 value. So your $10 will get you 10 buttons in America and a sticker. And in Canada or the rest of the world, $16 US or, you know, 100,000 Bitcoin. But that doesn't exist yet. So also, anybody who's a Fiend fan who's listening who has mined Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies, I have some questions, some tech questions. I'm not going to mine Bitcoin, but there are questions about nodes and seed nodes and things like that that will apply to Bitcoin. So drop me an email or a comment if you have mined a cryptocurrency in the past. All right. So you got a mouse in your bathtub, or are you just happy to see me, Jeremy?
Well, you know it's the latter, Michael.
Ask me how business is. Ask me how business is.
How's business, Michael?
Slower than a white man in slippers. No, actually, business is not slow, and that's a stolen joke, but I really like it. It's from some drug dealers on the corner in the show The Wire. I just think it's funny because right now I am a white man in slippers. I'm in my slippers doing this show, but I'm very awake because I had one of those Fiends energy drinks that's got 18 times the caffeine, 4 times the sugar, and 900 times the mercury of other energy drinks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fiend Merc. That's what we'll call it.
Fiend Merc.
Fiend Merc. Yeah.
Oh, I think we can call it something better than that.
I think we can too. We? Who's this we? You got a mouse in your hole?
A mouse in your hole. No, I prefer I go with squirrel in the trousers.
There's a good joke in the new Archer. It's, you got a gun in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me, when he's pressed up against her? And he's like, well, both, actually. And her name is Veronica Dean, so check it out. Her initials are VD. Ow. And she's a Dean.
Are you saying there's a correlation there?
Nope.
Are you tired of going to Liberty events only to meet higher fees and diminishing attendance? Is it troubling that your banners have to be approved by the Libertarian Central Planners? Are you tired of seeing your friends physically removed because they said something edgy? Hey, that's none of my business. Then you should check out the Jackalope Freedom Festival non-event at Baca Meadows in the cooler part of Northern Arizona. Meet Liberty activists, listen to talks, have a beer with Hoppy, score some free Freedom Fiends merchandise, camp under the stars, and fight the state with delicious Navajo tacos. And the best part is that there's no fees or libertarian general scrutinizes. Check out jackalopefreedomfestival.com for more information and directions. Runs from August 1st through 8th. That's jackalopefreedomfestival.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Peace Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region.
Yeah.
Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yeah.
So we are back for the second hour. This is Jeremy.
Are you typing?
Here with Michael Dean. What do you what are you typing over there, sir? Bad form.
Facebook on the radio. Oh, actually typing the show notes. Let's see. This episode has 4 times the sugar, 15 times the caffeine, and 900 times the mercury of a normal Freedom Fiends episode.
Excellent. So, well, we were going to talk about, well, speaking of Facebook on the radio, I think we were talking about this post that somebody wrote to you and sent something about Stranger Things, the TV show on Netflix, which you guys were talking about last night.
Which you haven't seen, but you can talk about this because it's basically a post about parenting. So there's this movie, there's this TV show, Stranger Things, which is great. It's on Netflix. Internet's replacing television. And that's cool, because that means that eventually the FCC will be like, what is that? You know, I saw this thing the other day. Have you seen that post going around that says something like, when our grandchildren ask us how we ended the state, we'll tell them the same way we ended Kodak, Blockbuster film, and something else. And I was thinking, have you seen that?
I don't think so.
The kind of ironic thing about that is Kodak and Blockbuster Video still exist in some capacity. They're not really gone.
Do they? I thought Blockbuster finally closed its doors. Well, does that have an online presence, or they're actually like brick and mortar stores that still exist?
I think they're trying to compete with Netflix, actually.
Oh, really?
Blockbuster.com. I'm there right now. Let's see. See if you can. Blockbuster, our team, on demand. Yes, there is a link, blockbuster.com. But it goes to something called sling.com/blockbuster. I guess they've sold the domain, but it still technically exists, I guess, as a company then, if they're, you know, if they have any cachet in the brand name to where they can sell it to someone else. And Kodak, basically what Kodak does, now Kodak could be kicking butt. You know, if people don't know this, Kodak is the company that invented commercial photography. Like, they sold cameras, you know, they were the first company that sold photographic film. And, you know, cameras used to require this stuff called film, and you had to develop it in this chemical process, and it costs money to, you know, you had to think about each picture you take, like, oh, is this going to be worth it? This is going to cost me $1 to take this picture and get it developed, and it's going to take a week before I can see it.
I remember
when I was your age. Yeah. The '80s, when the early '80s, when this show takes place that we're talking about, there's someone actually develops film in this show, which is why it reminds me of the show Blow Up, the movie Blow Up. That was one of the things on my list, because he's actually blowing up the picture more and more and more to try to see the ghost or the spirit or whatever the thing is, the monster. But yeah, Kodak, what Kodak does, they could have kicked butt if they embraced digital photography, but they were like most companies that don't want to change with the times, that see everything as a threat, they just went, no, like the T2 melting in the molten steel or the dinosaur going extinct in the tar pits. So, but basically all Kodak does now is owns patents and sues people that use them without paying them and charges companies to use them. All Kodak does.
Wow.
So it still exists. But which really, you know, that analogy still kind of works. We got rid of the state the same way we got rid of Kodak. And, you know, in 50 years, maybe the state will still be around and just suing people and just, you know, all it will do. I mean, kind of all it does now is, you know, fine people and throw them in cages, but it pretends to provide some services. You know, maybe in 50 years, it'll do a lot less of both. I could live with that, maybe.
Yeah, well,
maybe better than that.
That's a good start.
But. Yeah, I like what Nima Vedati said 5 years ago. He said, I think it was his prediction for where the state would be in 5 years, but let's adjust it for 20 years. He said, yeah, in 20 years, the state's going to be like Facebook. The federal government's going to be like Facebook. 300 million registered users, and no one's logged on in years. Facebook still exists.
Yeah, it has.
Oh, I think that was the other thing. That was the meme. It was, how'd you get rid of the state? The same way we got rid of Blockbuster Video, Kodak, and MySpace. It was MySpace. Yeah,
yeah. That makes more sense.
That's the thing that still exists, but no, I was like, Facebook still. I just looked something. We're reading something from Facebook. I just said, yeah, it still exists, but no one logs on anymore. No, that's MySpace I'm thinking of. All right.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I looked at my MySpace account.
I tried to recently, and it wanted, like, it wouldn't let me log in. I actually looked at it like 3 years ago, and it was really clunky and loaded slowly, and it looked like it was all bans now. Like, there were no people on it. It was just bans for some reason, but I don't think anyone even bothers with that anymore. But I tried to look at it like 6 months ago, and it wouldn't let me log. It wanted my cell phone number. It wanted to confirm over my cell phone, like everything does now. And, you know, like with your bank, you'll jump through that hoop till Bitcoin comes out and becomes popular.
I don't have that problem. I don't use a bank. I use a credit union. They don't make me do silly things like that.
Oh, yeah. My bank's really stupid. They do all these things that some IT guy in Wyoming, probably like the best computer guy in Wyoming, which, other than me, which isn't saying much, you know.
I was gonna say, is that like the tallest midget in the circus? Or?
Yeah. Like whoever does their security, if you don't go to their site, if you don't log into my bank site in more than a week, it makes you confirm through your phone. And like makes you type in your password, won't let you cut and paste it in. So what that's going to make people do is use really easy to guess passwords.
Yep.
It's counterintuitive, you know, because they're going to have to jump through this hoop and put their butt in the air every time for the bank, to the point where what they're going to do is they're going to make their password be their dog's name instead of a random string of letters that, you know, you could easily type, you know, paste in. But yeah, F banks. They're banks are old. Banks are so square, man.
Seriously, I encourage people to get if they can get out of them. I mean, credit unions are slightly better, and the only reason I'm even involved in that still is because it's attached to my mortgage. If it wasn't for that, because I've found that I can pay most of my bills in person now. I managed to, so I just walk in and hand them cash. So I don't even need. I there's only like a couple of things currently that I actually need, like a debit card or something for.
Yeah.
And
hey, Les.
Yeah, go ahead.
Good.
I was just gonna say that my mortgage are the only reasons I'm connected to that. Otherwise, I'd be completely removed.
Hey, last night on the show, I said the devil has all the good music, and somebody quoted me online as saying that. That's not, I didn't make that up. That's George Bernard Shaw. He said, "It's a pity that the devil should have all the good music." It's from Man and Superman, which is a weird play that everyone should read. It's where the term Superman comes from. Well, it actually comes from Übermensch, which is a German term, but the American term Superman comes from that play. That's a weird play. It's kind of commie. It's kind of socialist. And it also, the introduction, that play, the book for the play, has an introduction by George Bernard Shaw that's three times as long as the play. That's weird. It's really weird. But yeah, he said that. I didn't say that. But I don't mind admitting it, especially, like, you know, that makes me sound smart because I know who George Bernard Shaw is. Because I'm old and I went to school when they actually taught that stuff. And I went to private school, too. So, you know, I'm better than y'all. No. Anyway, so speaking of,
sir.
I'm part of the elite. Actually, the school, the private school I went to, like, most private schools aren't really much different than public school. They just usually have better teachers and a smaller teacher to student ratio. But it's the same thing. It was like we sat in little neat rows at the same place at the same time in the same place every day and memorized facts. You know, they didn't teach us, like, how to think. Although, and I read something by Frank Zappa recently that's really true, and I never thought about this. When I was a kid, and when Frank Zappa was a kid, they taught something called it wasn't social studies. It was like citizenship or something like that. They had classes. Oh,
gag me.
It sounds horrible. However, they actually taught you your rights, your legal rights. And, you know, we could debate all day long, like whether they're enforceable, whether whatever. But kids today don't know what free speech means. They really don't.
Kids today.
They don't. Kids today. Yeah.
Most adults don't seem to know about it because they're always screaming about my free speech, my free speech. I'm like, okay, if you're going to play the government, the statist game, you realize that
the class was called civics.
Oh, there you go, civics class. But you realize that only pertains to the government. They're right. The ones who aren't allowed to violate your free speech. You don't have it with other people, but you see all the people on both sides always screaming about their free speech being violated.
They actually, when I was in grade school, they went through the Ten Commandments of the American state. They went through the rights.
The 12 Commandments.
The 12 commands, and they taught, you know, starting with the right to keep and bear arms, and they didn't have any asterisks on it. They didn't say, well, but this only means the militia, you know. They meant, like, you know, oh, Bobby, can you give me an example of this? He's like, yes, my daddy has a hunting rifle. And, you know, I don't remember if anybody said, yeah, my dad concealed carries a handgun, but, you know, the implication was there. Like, it wasn't just about hunting. It was about self-defense and defense against a tyrannical government. Like, we were taught that in public school, you know, in the 70s. So, speaking of which, that's a good segue into this great letter that we got from a Fiend fan, JP Brody, about what's wrong. I mean, what's right about this movie that we like?
The show.
The show. Yeah, you know, I should use the term show. Show is actually, and we're running out of time here, so I'm just going to talk and then we'll bring this back and we'll talk about the show. But show is actually a term in the film industry for any video or film media you make. Like, if the first place that I learned this was when in my film Hubert Selby Jr. It'll Be Better Tomorrow was done. We got like 10 grand from somewhere, 4 grand from somebody to do a post-production color correction. We went to a place, like, I was calling places, and they're like, how long is your show? And what that means is, you know, like, the product you're bringing us. It doesn't matter if it's a movie or a TV show or a short or a rock video, they call it a show. So I like that term for anything. Like, yeah, the show. We get a barn, we'll put on a show when we get back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Is spreading the message of liberty and peace around the globe worth 15 cents per day to you? As you may already know, in addition to our internet feed, LRN.FM broadcasts on free-to-air satellite across North and Central America, as well as Sub-Saharan Africa. Last year, we did a fundraiser that successfully covered the costs of continuing our African channel. This year, we're hoping to raise enough to fund a new satellite signal that will cover Europe, North Africa, and much of the Middle East. You can donate as much or as little as you like via the Indiegogo campaign at fund.lrn.fm. And there are perks available like sitting in on your favorite LRN.fm show, exclusive shiny badges, or even naming a satellite channel. Please contribute now at fund.lrn.fm and help us continue our satellite broadcast to multiple continents. The fundraiser ends August 19th, so please visit fund.lrn.fm today and thank you for your help. That's fund.lrn.fm.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Meow. Yep. So we're finally gonna get around to what we've been pimping for about four segments now. We're actually gonna read this wonderful post from JP Brody. Sounds like a rock star, J.P. Brody, or a novelist.
Sounds like a snowboarder, actually.
Dude.
all right. So anyway, it's the topic is on, again, the show Stranger Things on Netflix, which we were talking about last night and have been teasing all night long. And he said that, you know, the show could only have taken place in the early 80s before, and, you know, let's take stock of what's going on in the show so far. So.
It does take place in 1983.
Yeah, it's 83.
I said 81. I was wrong.
You were wrong. Last night.
Yeah.
So the first point is that you have kids who are independent, curious about learning, understand the concept of morality, personal honor, admit when they're wrong, and who know how to responsibly use firearms and other weapons.
Yep.
Point two is teachers who actually care about their students' well-being and educate them even outside the classroom.
Yeah, there's a scene where the kid calls his science teacher at 10 p.m. on a Saturday night to ask him a question, basically about like how to teleport or something, you know, how to do telekinesis, through the wormhole. And the teacher like is reluctant. He's actually got a woman over at his house, and they're watching a movie. And I don't know what they're, I guess they're watching it on TV. Cause yeah, I guess Blockbuster Video might've been renting VHS tapes then, but, I think if a public high school student called his teacher at 10 p.m. on a Saturday night now, the police might actually get involved. Could you see that happening?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely, like, if it was the other way around.
Yeah, they're stalking me. Yeah, yeah. Whereas, yeah, this teacher actually cared. And reluctantly, he finally answered the kid's question. You know, it took a few minutes. So, go on.
Okay, so point three was... police who actually try to help the public instead of beating, kidnapping, executing them, and take the initiative on investigating real crimes. And the final one is...
And actually, at least the... You there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hello? Hello, I'm here.
Yeah, I think we buffered hard there for a second. But the good cop in this, the sheriff... actually is like breaking a bunch of federal laws to try to get to the bottom of things, to get to the truth and help return this missing kid.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So the fourth point is parents who don't get arrested for allowing their kids to go off unsupervised more than 10 yards from the house.
And if anyone listening thinks that that's an exaggeration, you're insane or have been living in a cave or only read really biased things. I mean, that's even in the mainstream media. That even makes it to like local, you know, Fox News affiliates, CNN News affiliates, ABC affiliates. Yeah, stories about, you know, parents who get arrested because their kids are playing unsupervised in the front yard, you know, and the mother's checking on them out of a window, you know, from time to time. I mean, your kids are five, your twins are five, and you let them ride around on a pair of pit bulls carrying rifles, right?
Well, yeah, but that's just me. I don't necessarily think everybody has to do that, but
yeah.
Well, no, yeah. But
do you ever let them ride your pit bulls like horses?
Unfortunately, most of them don't like to be ridden. Our murder dog pulls. Cameron, who does not really like to have anything on her back, so she's not a fan of being ridden. I do have a couple of Great Danes that come and stay with us that don't seem to mind it, and they're pretty tall, so that's pretty funny to put them up there. So,
yeah. So read on, bro.
Oh, well, so that was the last point. But I was going to say on the whole, the parents and kids thing. I mean, yeah, you're right. It is out there to see. I seem to remember it happening a bunch of times in Florida, as well as some other places. But it's.
Cool.
It's not even letting him go. Like, I mean, I remember 5-6 years old, I was riding my bike through the woods with my friends.
Yeah.
By ourselves.
Oh, you know, all day long. When I was 11, I had access to firearms and occasionally used them without parental supervision and never did anything wrong with them. You know, the only thing I ever did with it that today would probably get you in trouble was shot a bunny rabbit in my front yard, and my dad and I cooked it. And I actually cried when I shot it. And, you know, I'm a big old puss, but I love animals. Yeah. I don't know. There's people that I could see get hit by a bus and I'd laugh. But, you know, even though I do eat meat, what? Wow.
No, I said well.
Well, yeah.
Because, I'm sure all of us have people we wouldn't really necessarily shed a tear if they got hit by a bus.
Yeah. When we get back, we will briefly read some of the comments on this article. And then Jeremy has a big announcement and a discussion and some redemption about plans.
Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
And there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny. DJ, how do you like the Fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers, and there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
What are you talking about, Jeremy?
Before the break, we finally gotten to this post that our fan JP Brody had left regarding the Stranger Things episode on Netflix, and we had gotten through all the points on it, and the last line was actually pretty funny. He said, "I think we can all agree that in 2016, everyone would have been dead before the end of that first episode."
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I think that's a knock on the participation trophy generations.
Everyone wins.
Yeah, exactly. The soccer. Exactly. That's where the entitlement comes from. I'm so glad I grew up before that all started. We didn't. I was just getting out of school before that started to really kick in. So
the only thing that ever happened in my life that I think was a trophy for like making up for something bad that happened to me. It wasn't even for participation. It was when I went to the church farm school and bingo. In Paley, Pennsylvania, I got an initiation. I was 14 years old, and I came in the middle of the school year. I was away from home for the first time outside of Philly, rural Pennsylvania, you know, redneck Pennsylvania. And these kids gave me a wedgie and hung me on a hook on the wall and poured scalding water down the back of my pants. And I ended up in the hospital with second degree burns for a week. Like, I was like, well, lay it on my stomach for a week. And they were feeding me. Yeah. Two kids got kicked out of school for it. And it was the first time I took narcotics. If this happened now, like, the kids' parents would probably sue the school for everything they have. Like, not only for it happening, but then like 20 years later, when I became a heroin addict, I probably could have sued the school because this is my introduction to narcotics, was getting morphine in the hospital for this. But, you know, the only thing I got was my bullies got kicked out of school. One of them got allowed back the next year, so I had to, like, deal with that. He never did anything bad to me again, though, because he was, like, the funny thing is, like, these weren't like, the mess-up kids. These were, like, the valedictorian and the what's the second one called? Like, these two kids were, like, the first and second highest grades in our class, and they were, like, letterman athletes in 3 or 4 sports, so they had to let the better one back. Yeah, like I think these kids must be like running some, you know, master of the universe, master of running of industry now. That's you know, skull and bones.
Full blown sociopath then.
Okay. Yeah, I've tried to look him up. I've tried to look him up. Mm. But they both had really common names, and I can't find. I'll find them. But no, I haven't been able to find them. Right after I got out of the hospital, it was Halloween, and it was like one of those days, you know, you get to come to school dressed zany instead of having to wear a suit coat and a tie and, you know, dress shoes like normal day at private school. My costume was just like, I just put on all my ties. I just put on like 8 ties and messed my hair up. And like, that was my costume, and I won for the whole school. And like, other people had like really creative costumes, but I think I won just because they were like, oh, throw them a bone. I didn't win any. I won like 2 movie tickets or something. All right. So
That totally makes up for the almost scalding your,
Yeah. For scalding me externally and then like internally for life. So, one of the comments I liked was David Driscoll said, yeah, I had this child and the internet. Thank you, Rural Mountain West. It was a good experience. And then, John Vibe said, I heard there were good cops in this show, which made me uninterested, LOL. And I said, yeah.
I can understand that. I have that problem.
I watch a lot of shows that have cops where cops are
heroes. Well, yeah, but you, the older ones, right? Are you watching newer shows that have the cops or hero shows?
Sometimes.
Oh.
So, I mean, I like Bones. You know, she works for Gumby. Well,
once I gave up cable, I stopped watching Bones, but I was a Bones fan for the first.
Her boyfriend's in the FBI. I don't like him, though. I like her, but I don't like him.
Oh, Agent Booth.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's supposed to be like the great, 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 great grandson of the guy that shot Lincoln, too. So, but you know,
should get him some point, shouldn't he?
Well, Booth was a statist, though. Booth wanted the South to, you know, rise again. South to have their own nation.
Well, of course he did. Of course he was. But you know,
I'm for secession down to the last man, as they say. But yeah, you know, you got to start somewhere. But anyway, so I'm not saying with shooting presidents, but you got to start somewhere. You know, dividing a nation in half would be a good start. Oh,
that makes me think of one of my favorite memes, and it's, you know.
What?
I mean, I guess some people find it offensive, but I think it's funny as well. Get out. There's a picture of the assassination happening with Booth standing behind Lincoln and him grabbing his head like just after the shot, and underneath it somebody put the Gandhi quote, "Be the change you want to see in the world."
Oh man. Yeah, I saw a meme recently. I saw a discussion recently where someone said that's a terrible quote because it could have been Hitler's motto. When you think about it. Like, you know, the change you want to see in the world that you have to be doesn't have to be something good.
Oh, it absolutely doesn't have to be. But that's why that in that position could be taken both ways. Somebody who thinks Booth was wrong would take that as a.
So here's my segue. Tell me about the change you want to be in the world that's coming up in your life there, Jeremy.
Smooth, Michael, smooth. I told you this before the show that I meant to talk about it last night, but we never got to it because you wanted to talk about the show that I'd never seen. So, but yeah, I've been talking about this for a while. I've had my business now. For those who don't know. By now, I run a pet sitting.
You mind
company.
Dogecoin, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's how I've gotten by all these years.
No.
Soon to switch to Bitcoin and just clean up completely and have to get to retire in the next, you know, 6 months.
Yeah.
But so yeah, I have a pet sitting company and I've done that for now over a decade, and I've been itching to get. I do love what I do. I still love what I do. It's kind of hard to complain. I mean, the way I've always chalked it up when people, you know, talk about the hard work I put in and stuff to keep my company going, it's like I get paid to play with animals when you really break it down. I mean, yeah, I'm responsible for the keys for people's houses. I'm responsible for their, you know, what they consider members of their family. And, you know, I have to keep a schedule and they keep my hours for me. I don't really have set hours that I like to pick. It's like what they want me to do. So you know, I'm kind of at their mercy, but still, in the end, I get paid to play with animals. So it's a sweet gig.
Nice.
It's one of the few things here in good old New York, a stand that isn't heavily regulated, because it still falls into what they consider a gray area. And there's only, like, you know, stupid regulations against how many dogs you're supposed to have in your house to begin with, or, you know, noise levels and stuff like that. So it's still a pretty good thing, but I need to get out of this state. And I've been talking about it, and it just so happens that I was talking to a good friend of mine, and for some reason we never discussed the fact that I had always dreamed of moving on to getting a farm at some point. And I had actually been talking about this with young Nick as well, because I was picking his brain a few months ago about his whole yak setup, and talking about to see if maybe I could do something like that too. And he had turned me on to the idea of doing reindeer instead of yak. So I had really started looking at that, and the only limitation on that, I thought, is I had to be somewhere pretty far, you know, pretty far north, because they like the cold weather, and which is fine with me personally, because I don't mind the cold. I grew up skiing in my shorts in the Poconos. My kids are pretty adaptable, but for anywhere for me to go, I have to have my ex agree to follow me, which currently she says she is, so I'm going to take advantage of that.
Because she's the mother of your kids.
Yes.
Because you have split custody, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So she has to agree to wherever I want to go. But apparently she's finally ready to get out of here too, which is good news for me. I had been looking into doing that myself, and then a friend of mine and I were talking, and we finally got around to talking about this, and it was like, well, you know, she basically had the same dream to do this, some kind of similar farm setup as well, and things went didn't go well between her and her ex, and she kind of gave up on the dream. And we got to talk, and it's like, well, you know, why don't we just do it together instead, and just do a partnership rather than, like, you know, a couple going into this. And it was just both of us were just like, well, yeah, why the heck not? This is perfect, because
she wants to have reindeer farm too.
Well, she had actually, she was considering doing bison alongside with the, I think mushroom farming and a few other, different vegetables and grains possibly and stuff like that. Because
mushrooms aren't vegetables.
I said mushrooms and vegetables and other stuff like that. If I said other vegetables, yeah, okay. If I said it, I meant it in the other order. Anyway,
got it.
I do know that mushrooms are not vegetables. But, you know, as Nick, I'm sure, can attest to, you can actually make more money with doing some kind of livestock or something you can sell versus just trying to do produce. So I wasn't set on the reindeer. I just found it interesting, and I'd been reading up a lot of it. But the other thing is, she had already had locations scattered out. She had gone so far as to get, like, soil samples and was all lined up and ready to do this until things went south in her relationship. So that work's already all done.
Before you guys broke up, she was secretly getting soil samples for a bison farm, and you didn't know
this? No, not me.
In another state?
No, this is my friend.
Oh, okay.
Not my ex.
Okay.
This is my friend. Her and her relationship. Like,
that's a weird thing to hide. I'm going to surprise you, honey. I've been getting soil samples from Utah and Wyoming for our bison farm.
That would be pretty nifty. But
where
no,
you move?
Right now it's looking like Ohio.
No.
Oh, yes.
That won't do. How about West Virginia?
No, I don't want to go to West Virginia.
Why? You'd be the smartest guy there, man, and there's less laws than Ohio.
Ohio, because Ohio is extremely good on the homeschooling stuff that I don't have to deal with that additional pressure.
Wyoming's, I mean, West Virginia's really big, good on the no schooling, isn't it?
funny. Well, Ohio currently recognizes unschoolers as well, so they leave them alone. And
Ohio also has a law against having a hidden compartment in your car that is vaguely written that people have been arrested for having speakers in their car.
I understand that. I'm not really concerned about that though, because I don't have any.
It's like New York Light, man. Tyranny wise.
Well, no. Again, the it's actually for as good as the laws can be on like I said, the homeschooling and guns and stuff like that.
I think you should look at Wyoming, man. Especially if you want to farm anything.
Ohio actually has some of the best farming.
I know it's got all the fertile valleys, and it's
exactly farming, but so. Yeah. But that's where I am hoping to head in the next year or so, because it's been a good ride, but it's time to move on and do something else with my life.
Huh.
So.
Well, we're going to go to the market, and then we're going to come back, and we'll have your redemption in the third act.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And go on the sidebar of the Freedom Fiend site. We now have Amazon links for Amazon US, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada due to popular demand. Worms. Yep.
Before I was so rudely interrupted by the market.
By the market. I'm just kidding.
I love the market, so it's okay. That's excellent radio right there, folks. If you have one of those old-timey recorders, make sure you
catch this for posterity. Cheddar. It's not an ad for Lay's Stacks Cheddar.
No, Michael's just going to start reading the ingredient list off things. Anyway.
Tell me more about your wonderful plans to move to Ohio. To move to Ohio for very slightly more freedom.
Well, it's actually a lot more freedom than I deal with here in New York, and I don't have to. And it's more about getting out of here and doing something different, and still following the whole entrepreneurial line that I started over a decade ago.
You're still going to be near sea level, though.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
You landlubber.
That's fine with me. Yeah. I grew up in the mountains. You know what's interesting? I don't care about being near the sea necessarily.
You know what's interesting about living in the mountains that you probably have forgotten? When you open things that are packed at sea level, like Lay's Stacks Cheddar Chips, the foil on the top of the thing is often bulging out. When I first moved here, I thought like all the cans had botulism or something, but it's because they're canned at sea level and then brought up here and they kind of puff out because the air inside expands at a higher altitude. You know, you remember that?
Now that you mention it, I think that I can visualize that. It's, but whatever. Like I said, I really don't care. I grew up in the mountains. Now I live down by sea level. I really don't.
Where'd you grow up?
Like I said, I grew up in the Pocono Mountains. Pennsylvania, which is part. That's part.
Kentucky.
It's the northern. I think it's the very northern part of the Appalachians, or does that go run up into further into New York State? I can't remember. Whatever. It's along that line, and so I grew up. I grew up in a little bit of altitude, and now I'm down by sea level. It doesn't seem to bother me too much either way, so I don't really care about that. Yeah. And I don't need to be near the sea. I'd rather be further inland because, as we discussed on a previous show recently, actually, I don't remember if it was here or it was when I had Chandler on my show, The Seas of Liberty, but it was him and I talking about it, saying that, you know, if you know, when the poop hits the fan scenario type thing happens, no matter what that is, I'm in one of the worst possible, because like the worst places you could be is in any major city. A close second, if not 1A, is being near a big city and on an island like I am.
Because you can't leave and they can all swim to you.
Well, exactly. I could try to swim, but I'd have to go pretty far south or north to get away from anything. And it's still it's a pretty far hike to the Connecticut side. So I don't even think I want to try that. Getting off the island is an imperative. And right now that I have my ex willing to move as well, I want to take advantage of it, Well, I kind of, like I said, I'm ready to make a change anyway. And I either need to get out of my house or refinance in the next 13 months, regardless, because
math.
Yeah.
Because math of stuff. Yeah.
The stupid interest rates and
mortgage. Math and stuff is dumb.
Yeah, man, seriously. It'd be so much easier if the state wasn't in the way and you'd have all those layers of bureaucracy and then the banks involved, because that, you know, the houses are so overpriced because of all that BS. But anyway, but besides that fact,
you should move to Wyoming. You can buy a really nice house for under 200 grand.
I could buy a pretty good place for 20 grand in Ohio right now. In certain places.
You could buy a place in Kensington for 10 grand.
Well, yeah, there you go.
You can win it in a dice game. They have a dice game on the porch every day.
I think in Detroit, at least as of 2 years ago, there were still houses you could buy for a dollar.
Hey, is Milford, Pennsylvania in the Poconos?
I don't think so. I want to say that's in the Northwest, but I'm not. Oh, I don't remember exactly.
It is.
Is it in the Northwest? Okay. Yeah. Poconos in the Northeast, close to Jersey and the southern part of New York.
Okay. Because I was in that other place is like 500 feet above sea level.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know if Camelback, because I live by Camelback Mountain, the biggest ski resort in the Poconos. But I don't even know if it could have been 500 feet. I'm not sure. But it was definitely a lot higher than the 82 feet I'm currently at here in Levittown. So I know that much.
No, it reaches to 2,100 feet, the highest point of that mountain.
Oh, there you go.
Dude, the low part of my town's like a mile above sea level, 5,000 feet.
Well, la-dee-da.
Yeah. Yeah. Our cans poke out more than your cans.